I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Master drummer Steve Smith has rejoined Journey, revisiting some of the classic pop songs of which he's been an essential part. His creative path has also included over 30 years with his fusion group Vital Information, multiple ensembles blending the music of India with jazz, and a long list of others. He's recently released a project called The Fabric of Rhythm, which translates the motions of rhythm into visual art. Journey will perform at the Matthew Knight Arena in Eugene on Saturday, March 18th, and Steve Smith joins me from the snows of Mount Ashland. Thanks for taking the time today, Steve.
My pleasure, Eric. Good to be speaking with you.
Well, it's been almost 20 years since you last toured with Journey. When you've revisited those songs, do they sound different to you after that perspective of time?
Actually, let me address that. First of all, it had been 32 years since I toured with Journey. Actually, because I left the group in 85, we did have a reunion of sorts in 96 and 97, but that was just for a studio album called Trial by Fire. And we never did tour at that time. So when I got a call a couple of years ago from the management of Journey asking if I was available to do some touring, I wasn't available right away. This was in the middle of 2015, but my schedule being booked usually a year in advance, we made plans for me to tour in 2016 and 17. They wanted at least a 2-year commitment, so I gave them a 2-year commitment. And then eventually, about 4 months before we started rehearsals, which rehearsals started in March of 2016. And, you know, when I say rehearsals, it's about 4 days, something like that. But I started revisiting the music, and not that it sounded different, but I literally had forgotten everything I had ever recorded with the band or played with the band, because 32 years is an awful long time. So I went about learning the music essentially like I go about learning music when somebody sends me an album and Mike Stern or Hiromi or somebody says, here's my new album, you know, let's learn all the tunes. Well, I make charts. I just write transcriptions of what is played on the drums so I can learn the music. So essentially I transcribed my own parts to about 30 songs, I think, you know, 25 or 30 songs. So, and then I went through the process of relearning them. So it was interesting. I mean, I had definitely could remember, for instance, why I played certain things and how it orchestrates what the other guys in the group are playing and how the parts work. But it was interesting to relearn the music and then to do some updating. Like I went back to the original recordings, learned them exactly, and then brought them into the present and did some things that I'm doing now that's different. For instance, orchestrating the drumming between three snare drums versus like playing everything on one snare drum. I have three snare drums tuned in different ways, so I felt like, well, some part of this tune may sound good on the real deep snare drum, and this part of the tune might sound good on the higher pitch snare drum, and so on, like just changing up the beat a little bit here and there, and of course, in certain tunes, I play exactly the same fills I play on the record because they are really part of the song. Like, say, for instance, the fills in Separate Ways or the fills in Faithfully are really part of the songs. But then in other tunes, I'm a lot freer with my interpretation of the drum parts and the fills.
At this point, of course, one difference is having Arnel Pineda instead of Steve Perry handling the lead vocals. Does that shift the music a lot from your perspective?
It definitely changes it somewhat because Steve Perry was so rhythmically oriented. He originally was a drummer and had very precise rhythm. And Arnel is a very, very good singer, but doesn't have that same kind of precise rhythm in his voice. So it's really up to the band as a unit to, like, we stay locked in and keep the groove really solid, and Arnel sings over that. And he does an incredible job. I mean, I'm really impressed with him. And he sounds great every night. And last year we did, I think, 64, 65 shows. He sounds great every night. And he performs like, he's like Bruce Lee on stage, you know, he's all over the place. And so to do that and sing and pull it off is pretty incredible.
Well, listening audiences change as much as bands do as we all age over time. And here you are 30 years later back on the road with Journey. Are the audiences much different than in the younger days?
Yeah, the audiences are radically different because back in the late 70s and the 80s, of course, the audience was essentially people our own age and younger, you know, when we were in our mid-20s. So now we have at least, I'd say, three generations of fans because we have the people that are our age, maybe slightly older, and then their kids, you know. So we're seeing everyone from, you know, from preteens up until people probably in their 70s. So it's really interesting to see that, though they're every bit as intense as the audiences were in the 80s. Like they're you know, they're having such a great time, and they really like surrender to the experience and have a blast. So it's pretty fun experience for all of us.
And meanwhile, it's been over 30 years since you've put Vital Information together as a fusion band, but that's continued to evolve as well. So what's the latest form of Vital Information?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've kept the band going since 1983. And every few years, there might be some personnel changes. I've had tended to keep players in the group pretty long. Like, for instance, Frank Gambale was in the band, I think, 12 years or something like that before he got so busy he left. And he's out touring with Chick Corea and Electric Band again this year. Tom Koster was in the group over 20 years, and he finally retired and moved to Mexico for the most part. He lives in Northern California for part of the year, but most of the time in Mexico. And meanwhile, I started living in New York City for a lot of the year about 10 years ago, 2007. So since I'm based there, I ended up having some of the guys I was playing with in my other groups. Like I had a group called Jazz Legacy with Mark Soskin and Andy Fusco. And of course, Vinnie Valentino's been my guitar player for over 10 years. And Baron Brown's been in the group about 20 years. So they're based on the East Coast. So I have, you know, Mark Soskin now playing keyboards in the band. Andy Fusco, he sort of comes and goes depending on how far away from New York we travel. He's not able to travel all that much these days. So it's essentially a quartet with Baron Brown, Vinnie Valentino, and Mark Soskin and myself. And we call the band Vital Information NYC Edition, since we're all based in the New York area.
Another of your many pathways that's always fascinated me has been the crossover with the music of India, whether it's with Zakir Hussain and Masters of Percussion or the Ragabop Trio release or with George Brooks Summit. What is it about the language of the music of India that's been such a compelling thing for you?
Well, in Indian music, it has two essential elements, and that's melody and rhythm. They don't really have harmony the way we have harmony in Western music. So they put so much emphasis on the rhythm. All of the instrumental performers and the singers are very well versed in the intricate rhythms that are used because they perform, in some ways, they serve a similar kind of device as harmony does, where you have resolution, 2-5-1s, you know, certain harmonic resolution points. All that takes place in the rhythms. So the rhythms are highly evolved, really probably the most highly evolved rhythmic system on the planet. So when I first started to learn about it, I was fascinated by it. And then I've been really fortunate to hook up with some of the greatest musicians from India and learn on the job. I mean, they're hiring me to play certain gigs, so I'm learning their music and having to cram and learn things before concerts and whatnot. But it's expanded my rhythmic vocabulary greatly. And now I use that rhythmic vocabulary in every situation that I'm in. Like I use Indian rhythms with the music of Vital Information, And believe it or not, I use it in Journey as well. There's lots of ways that phrases can be resolved. And even though the guys in the band don't know that I'm using some Indian concepts, they feel good and they work. And especially, I usually play a solo every night. And in my solo, many times, even though it's essentially improvised every night, so even though there's a set form to it because it has to begin and end with a similar kind of shuffle feel, in the middle of it, I can really go anywhere. And a lot of times I'll include some of the Indian rhythms that I've learned and put them on the drum set. And of course, the audience doesn't know that that's what they're hearing, but it's still powerful and effective, and they seem to appreciate it a lot. In fact, you can see some of these solos on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/vitalinformation. And you can also see a lot of them. They're posted on YouTube through my website, which is vitalinformation.com.
When you talk about the vocabulary of Indian music, that's maybe in a sense more literal than some people might think, because the Indian rhythmic vocal art form of Konakal is something that is a teaching tool and a language in its own. How much did learning to do that vocally enable you to take it to the drums?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because essentially learning the language of the South Indian rhythms, like you said, is called Konakal. That's how I learn the rhythms. You know, you have to learn them some way. And so I learn them by being taught literally the Konakal version of the rhythm. And then once I know that, I can figure out a way to put that on the drum set. So for instance, here's like, you know, a phrase that I learned on Konakal. So then I'll figure out a way to play those stickings on the snare drum at first, and then move them around to the toms where there's, you know, certain melodies are implied. And those come directly from Indian drums. Like that Konakal language, in fact, comes from Murdungam, the main drum of South India. And the main drum of North India is tabla, but the syllables for tabla is called bols. Now, that's something I really don't know. My knowledge is from the South Indian side.
Another crossover aspect is into the visual world for you with the fabric of rhythm, which merges drumming, art, and the lighted drumsticks that Vic Firth invented. Have those lighted drumsticks help you to improve your own motion's efficiencies, first of all?
Yes, when Vic Firth first came out with those lighted drumsticks, I used them as a practice tool because I could play in a dark room, play in front of a mirror in a dark room, and really watch the pathways that my sticks were making through space, which is real helpful on like smoothing out my playing, making sure everything is very fluid and the motions are rounded. So I was comfortable playing with those sticks when the guys from Scene 4, a company in LA, approached me about doing this art on canvas or rhythm on canvas idea. So we went into a darkened room and I did some performing on the drum set, and they took time-lapse photography, maybe 15-second approximate exposures, and from that some very interesting artwork emerged. So I released 13 pieces of art that's available on stevesmithdrumart.com. And then more recently, they put all the pieces together in a coffee table style hardback book. And along with those 13 pieces, I decided to create a drum solo to go along with each piece of art. And essentially, one of the pieces of art, I created two solos. So we released the book. It comes with a vinyl LP with 7 drum solos per side, like basically 22 minutes of music per side. And it's a pretty cool project. I had a lot of fun recording the drum solos, and I found a really fantastic studio in Ashland, Oregon to record those, Sylvia Massey's studio. And the results are pretty solid. So check that out. There's only 250 of these available, and you can get the book and the LP through that stevesmithdrumart.com website.
That art is beautiful. Did it teach you anything about music and your own playing coming back around after seeing the artistic visual results of it?
Well, I can't say that it taught me really anything about music, because I was already pretty in tune with just trying to have smooth rhythms as I play. But I will say what was really fascinating was trying to create drum solos that would relate to and make sense with each piece of art. So the closest thing I could compare that to is possibly making a soundtrack to a movie, but it's something like that, but different, you know, looking at a piece of art and being inspired and then coming up with something that, when you listen to the drums and you look at the piece of art and read my explanations, it all makes sense.
I've been struck by the depth of your work as an educator as well as a player. And one of the things that ever since I've known you, I've known how passionate you seem to be about practice and discipline. Do you have any advice for young musicians about how to fall in love with practice?
I guess you would have to come pretty naturally. I mean, the way that I approach practice is essentially, I look at it, I put in the time, and I put in the time on a daily basis. At least 6 days a week I practice. And it's usually in preparation for something. Like when I have a gig coming up, that gives me a lot of inspiration to put in the time, to put in at least a couple of hours a day. And I find that consistency is what's most helpful, is the consistency of going in there, putting in the time, getting prepared, and even getting to the point where you're over-prepared. Like, for instance, when I relearned all those Journey songs, I got to the point where I knew them exactly like the record. And then I would go beyond that and just use the song as a platform to improvise. And, of course, that's not what I do live. You know, I don't really approach the music like that live. But I was so comfortable with the music at home, it was a way of keeping my chops up and just making sure that I was prepared. And that's what I mean by over-prepared, to the point where I'm so comfortable with it, then I could improvise my way through the whole song just to amuse myself. But I think the idea of practicing consistently like that, where it really comes in handy and helpful, is that as the professional musician, you have to put on a great show every night. People are coming to see you. They're paying hard-earned money to come see you. And you don't necessarily feel like playing every night. You know, so that's why you can't just only practice when you feel like it, because then it translates into only playing when you feel like it. And so, you know, so when I get on stage, I have like the years of the discipline of putting in the time. So even though I might be real tired, we've been traveling, and you know, the last thing I want to do is get on stage. As soon as I get on stage and the lights come up and we count off the first tune, I'm there, you know, and I'm not struggling anymore. For some reason, you know, that all those that years and hours of practice click in, and I'm off and running, and I can perform at a high level every night. And so that's really, I think, one of the key advantages of it, as well as it takes years and years to develop, you know, good technique and good musicianship, and there's no substitute for putting in the time.
Time. And there's endless music and always limited time. So where beyond these current tours with Journey and Vital Information down the road in the fall as well, what else is ahead for you that you can see?
Well, like you just mentioned, but I'll just expand on it a little more. We have a new Vital Information NYC edition album called Heart of the City. That's coming out in September. And then in the fall, I will be touring with my Vital Information NYC edition group somewhere around the world. I mean, at this point, we just started booking, and we're booking Asia, Europe, and different parts of the USA. So hopefully we'll be somewhere on the West Coast where folks from the Oregon area can come see the band. And then beyond that, I'm not really sure. We've been discussing in Journey whether, you know, what to do in 2018. And, you know, I'll have a decision to make at some point whether I'm going to continue or not. But, you know, but we're talking about that. I've been having a great time, and it's been pretty interesting to revisit the music and reform with the guys. So it could be that I'll be touring with Journey again. And of course, I'm still getting lots of calls from Steps Ahead, which we made a new record last year with the WDR Big Band. Mike Stern, you know, thankfully he keeps calling me to tour, but I can't, you know, make all these gigs. But at some point, I'll return to my own career as a clinician and as a sideman and band leader full time.
Well, thank you for all your eclectic and beautiful forms of music and creativity. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Eric. All right.
Steve Smith in the Modern Drummer Hall of Fame. He performs in Eugene as part of Journey, who will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017. Journey performs on Saturday, March 18th at the Matthew Knight Arena. For tickets and information, MatthewKnightArena.com and JourneyMusic.com. For more on Steve Smith, VitalInformation.com and SteveSmithDrumArt.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.